All right, we're going to get started, and I want to start off by reading Psalms 100, verses 1 through 5. The psalmist writes, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations." It's wonderful to see you all coming out this evening as we have this special time to set aside as a church family just to offer up praises of thanksgiving to the Lord this Lord's Day before Thanksgiving. It is a wonderful gift to be having to live in a nation that sets aside at least once every year a time where we can devote our time or our attention to thanking the Lord for all the rich gifts and goodness that he gives us throughout the year. And so tonight we want to follow in that same spirit of the psalm that we just read, to enter into God's presence with praise and thanksgiving and declare his goodness before his people and to remember his steadfast love that he has showed to us. And our Thanksgiving service tonight is going to look a little bit different than maybe what it has in years past. Tonight we have four themes, or I almost picture it like rooms of Thanksgiving that we're going to walk through tonight, punctuated with four resulting times of praise. And so what's going to happen is I'm going to introduce each Thanksgiving topic or room with some scripture, and then I'll invite you to share your testimonies as it relates to that certain topic. And then after each time of sharing, which will be about 10 minutes each if we time this right, we'll respond to that topic of Thanksgiving with a relevant song. And then I'll come up and introduce our next focus of Thanksgiving, and we'll do that, as I said, four times, and then we'll finish with a closing hymn together as a faith family. So with that in mind, let us start off with a word of prayer. We'll sing an opening song, and then I'll get up here and introduce our first topic of Thanksgiving tonight. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather together as your people tonight and have just a time of testifying of your goodness and your grace to us in life. Father, we do have hearts tonight that are committed to thankfulness, for we have in you every reason to give thanks. Father, we pray that as we testify tonight of the many blessings that you have given to us through your pardon, the many blessings you have given to us through your provisions, through your people, through your providence, we just pray that from the beginning of this service to the end, that you would be honored in every word that is spoken and every praise that is lifted up. We ask that you would fill us with joy as we remember your works. And we ask, Father, that you would knit us together tonight as one people in a shared gratitude towards you. And we simply ask that the praises that are raised from this room tonight would be pleasing in your sight. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good evening. If you're able, please stand with me as we sing Goodness of God.
Of the goodness of God.
The first topic of thanksgiving that we have for this evening to consider is thanksgiving for God's pardon. The scripture reminds us that our deepest well of gratitude is always found in God's redeeming love for us. No matter what is going on in our life, there is always a reason to give thanks to the Lord for what he has done for us in Christ Jesus. Psalms 103, verses 3 through 4, calls on us not to forget God's many benefits and blessings to us. Namely, as is first highlighted, that he forgives all our iniquity and has redeemed our soul from the pit. We ought to bless him and thank him for it. In Luke 1, verse 68, Zechariah the priest thanked God because the Lord visited and redeemed his people with salvation. And in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15, Paul calls on us to thank God for his inexpressible gift, the gift of salvation through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone, by his grace. This has been given to us as a gift, and we should thank God for it continually. The gift of salvation through faith in Christ Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving. And so as you think over this past year, I want you to think about how has the Lord saved you or sanctified you or strengthened you or restored your faith or deepened your understanding of his transforming grace in your life. And so please share with us as I open the floor at this time for our testimonies of thanksgiving over God's pardon and forgiveness and grace that is found in Christ Jesus.
Well, I wanted to go first because I'm not sure if this really fits in any of the four P's that Pastor laid out. So I've never been real good about following directions. But recently I was listening to a teaching on the passage of Luke 17 where Jesus, on his way to Jerusalem, was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and he entered a village and was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourself to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." And as I was listening to this teaching, it was describing the terrible nature of leprosy and what a miraculous healing this would be. And, you know, the person made a comment. He said, "I bet you the other 9 were really, really thankful to be cleansed of their debilitating disease. But to be thankful and to turn around and give thanks is two different things." And as I was thinking about all the passages where we are called to give thanks in all things and called to be thankful, those are certainly things that we ought to do and need to do, you know, individually, but we're frequently and most often called to do that corporately. And so as I was just thinking about this particular evening, we're called to give thanks publicly. And so when we think about the pardon of Christ, the grace of Christ, the people of Christ that we're part of, we don't have enough time to give enough thanks for what God is truly owed.
I think when we pray and ask God for things, and then down the road we see an answer to prayer, at least I am somewhat guilty of not remembering that I prayed for that, or I might remember that I prayed for that, but I neglect to thank God for that. So, yeah, in my life, you know, when I pray for things, it's just important for me to try and remember, just look over the past days, you know, what has God done, just kind of recount what went through it. And I am grateful, so grateful for the pardon that I've received in Christ. I feel like Christ sought me and kept me until the time of my salvation. And knowing Christ, being pardoned, to me gives a peace, a great peace, knowing that even though I'm a failed, flawed, sinful individual, I know that God loves me. And more than that, he values me in spite of my sinfulness. So I'm very grateful for that. And I just praise God this evening.
Thinking recently as a mom, trying to do like apologetics with my kids and passing on the faith, and then just considering all the different things happening in the world and just the craziness, and whether that's teaching them about different types of religion, specifically Islam. I was just talking to Zach about this today. I said, what does Islam, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, the Catholic Church with the Pope and priest all have in common? There's always another prophet. There's always another word, you know, so you can never finally know, right? There's always that prophet like Muhammad who came to clarify something, right? Or Joseph Smith came to clarify the word of God for us. And so I've been thinking about that, and I like to watch different types of debates online just to get my mind thinking, like, how are other people thinking about this, and how should I be looking at my scripture to see how I can defend what I believe to my children? And so I've been reading through the Gospels and just so comforted how Christ just always clearly says who he is, and how the different religions or different prophets, they always say he's not who he said he was. And so I was just going to read a passage that I just think is very encouraging. It's from John 6, 28 to the end. "Therefore they said to him, 'What should we do so that we may work the works of God?' Jesus answered and said to them, This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So they said to him, What then do you do for a sign so that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? And I feel like that's a lot what people are saying today. And that's where they have their prophets. We need more works, more things. Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus then said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, Moses has not given you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, always give us this bread. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that my Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will never cast out, for I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Now this is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son, believes in him, will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. And so that last statement is just really comforting to me, how he says, it's the will that God believe, that you believe on me, because I have the power to give you eternal life. And I, not, he didn't say like God the Father or, you know, or this prophet or whatever, but he says, I myself will raise you up on the last day. So that has been really encouraging to me. And then Colby's Sunday school class talking about just thinking how years ago before the Reformation, how the Catholic Church, it was all in Latin. Like no one could read it for themselves. And it's such a gift to study and to know this truth, and that Jesus said, I myself will give you eternal life, and I myself will raise you up in the last day.
I was sharing with my high school class today. We're going through worship and just the different forms of worship. And we were in Psalm 23 today, and just seeing how the Lord is our shepherd. We look at how he leads us, how he guides us, he makes us to lie down in green pastures. And, you know, there's something in us, as we're talking about how dumb sheep are, there's something in us that we just continue to, we have that such a tendency to wander away from the shepherd and to want to do something on our own. I shared with him this morning in Romans 8, verse 30, it says, or going up before in 29, says, for those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. And then 30, and those whom he predestined, he also called, and those whom he called, he also justified, and those whom he justified, he also glorified. And all of those, it's always he who is doing the work. And I'm just so thankful that it is he who is doing the work, because his work is perfect and mine is not. So I'm just so thankful that he is the one who does the work.
In Colby's class, that as we were talking about different religions and how they don't understand and how they look to other people, and it was very sobering to me that God would let me know his spirit and that it would change my life. And that sobered me, because it's easy to look at other religions and be like, man, they're stupid, you know. But it just sobered me this morning to realize, that is only by the grace of God that I am not under any other authority. And I can remember coming to Christ, and though I didn't understand predestination and sovereignty at that time, because it was never taught where I went to church, I remember sitting in that pew, feeling the Holy Spirit wooing me to God, and in my stubborn pride, I was resistant. And I'm like, I'm not giving my parents the satisfaction. I'm not whatever. And the Holy Spirit said, really? And he called me to himself that day. And it's been a long process, and I'm anywhere but perfect. You know that. But I see God's amazing grace through my life, through marriage, through infertility, through nervous breakdown, through adoption, through life struggles, and God has been faithful all my life. So that song couldn't be more perfect. And I'm so grateful to a compassionate, merciful, sovereign, loving God that chose to choose this wretch while I hated him. And I just want to praise God for his work of redemption in my life.
Please stand as we continue to sing.
Second focus for Thanksgiving we have before us tonight is the thanksgiving for God's provision. Paul reminds us in Philippians 4:19 that my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in Christ Jesus. And we who belong to him should be able to speak from personal experience that this promise is true, that God has richly provided for us. And Psalms 107, verses 8 through 9, calls on us when we experience these provisions to give thanks to the Lord who satisfies our longing souls and fills the hungry with good things. For every good and perfect gift, as James 1, verse 17, reminds us, comes from above, down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. And so at this time, I want you to think over this last year, how have you seen God meet needs that you couldn't meet yourself? Where has he sustained you? Where has he provided for you or surprised you with his great kindness and care? And so let's share together how the Lord has provided for us in ways that were expected and unexpected at this time, and we can thank him for his provisions tonight as a family.
So I'm not real good at following directions either. It must be a teacher thing. Because what I wanted to share isn't from this past year, but a story that most of you wouldn't have known because you didn't know us. In 2008 was when my husband was first out of work. He passed out one day at work 2007 and has never been back to work since. So 2008, Becky was in sixth grade. We had a kid, first year Bible college, eighth grader, 11th grader. Colby was in my kindergarten Spanish class. So, you know, a long time ago. But throughout that year, we never went without. Lee had no paycheck. I was already working a second job that God had provided. I worked for an in-home care company, got paid to sleep, stayed at a lady's home. So I was already working two jobs plus his just for us to make ends meet, pay tuition, things like that. So it wasn't, that wasn't an option for me to go get another job, but God provided in so many ways. And Ephesians 3:20 says that he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. It's not just providing for our needs. It was exceeding abundantly. And there were so many things that year. Our church, we were in a church smaller than this, but a church that just rallied around us. We benefited from the benevolence fund some, but individuals, we had farmers, we'd get a note in the mailbox, hey, there's meat in the freezer, 25 pounds of hamburger, or Cody's dad got a deer that year and they shared venison with us. You know, there were just so many things throughout the year. We got through that year, we had no debt except our mortgage at the end of that year, or it was almost 18 months until Lee's disability came through. But two specific events that happened that year that were exceeding abundantly above what we were expecting. Pennsylvania has that nasty annual car inspection, and mine was due, and it was that summer, and I got off work. I was working overnight. The girl who was to replace me didn't show up. She was late. I called. She'd overslept, so I had an appointment to get my car inspected. Now I'm running late, and I was really getting frustrated that I was going to be late, but finally got there, got to the dealership, and the owner of the dealership was walking in the door. He was not around a lot, usually out getting cars, things like this. Had I not been late, I wouldn't have probably run into John that morning. But I saw John, and he's like, everything okay with the car? We had bought our car from him. I'm like, yeah, it's just that time. I'm here for inspection. And you know, I checked in, and I told him, don't fix anything. Just give us a list, and then we'll go from there. You know, my son could do some of the stuff. We had another friend who helped. So anyway, waited. Finally, the mechanic comes out, and he's like, he looks around. Anybody else here? I'm like, no. And he's like, okay, well, you needed... And he said, needed, my heart just stopped because that was past tense. They weren't supposed to fix anything. You needed this, and you needed this. And he kept going through this very long list of things, all in past tense. And then he gets done, he says, and I don't know what this means, but Mr. Kinder says, you've got enough going on right now. Hands me the bill, and it was marked fully paid. And, you know, looking at what a God thing, because, again, if I hadn't been late, John might never have even known I was there, but how God did exceedingly abundantly, you know, beyond what we were expecting. And then the other one was something very little. And in some ways, because it was so little, it meant so much more. We had a Friday night fun and fellowship, family fun and fellowship at our church, first Friday of every month. And I usually was working with the kids. We'd go, with friends of ours, would bring them home afterwards. And they always had a theme for the desserts or the refreshments. And our friend who would take the kids, don't worry about it. You know, just send the kids. There's always plenty of food. Well, usually tried to send something, and this particular time, my son Stephen had said they were having a chocolate fountain. And he was like, can we get grapes for the chocolate fountain? Well, this was Thursday night, and I was like, number one, I'm not even buying grapes for us right now at home because they're too expensive. They're not in the budget. Two, I don't have time to stop. I've got to get home. I've got to go to work tonight, you know, all these things. And so Thursday night, I went to work feeling, you know, like a really bad mom because, you know, I went to go get my son this bag of grapes and such a little thing. But it was an extra thing that just wasn't in the budget. And went to work, and the lady that I stayed for, a Christian lady, so she knew a little bit about what was going on. We'd talk before we'd go to bed in the evenings, and she was leaving the next morning to go to her granddaughter's in New Jersey. And got up in the morning, I get ready for school, and we're talking, and she's like, any chance you could use a bag of grapes? And I had not shared that story with her. And I said, yes. And then I told her the story and how, what a little thing in, you know, comparison to everything else that was going on, but such a God thing to show our kids that God cared about those little things and that provision so much more than, like I said, exceedingly abundantly.
When I was 61, I got married for the first time, and I left my hometown of West Liberty and moved to Urbana, another country. I lived in my husband's house, which was very nice. I had free rein of anything I wanted to do to fix it up or decorate, and we had a wonderful 10 years there. And one day in 2019, out of the clear blue, he said, I think we should move to West Liberty. Go back to your hometown. Well, this, I was very surprised, but I really hadn't thought too much about the future. And he says, I want you to be closer to church and to your friends and so forth. So we went to Green Hills and found a place that we liked. And we sold our home in Urbana and were able to purchase a home at Green Hills. And we lived there for 1 year, and he died. And I learned as I was settling the estate that in Social Security, the spouse that had the higher income was the one that the widow got. So when I found out Russ's income from Social Security, it was the same amount above mine to pay all the HOA fees at Green Hills. It was the exact amount. So my husband provided for me, but through it all, my heavenly husband took care of everything.
So once Rosemary and I had decided that we wanted to get married, then the challenge became trying to find some place to live. And Cedarville was a very closed market just because there is so many apartments and there's so many students. So we had been looking and just not really finding anything and nothing in Cedarville. So Becky and Casey have been gracious enough to offer for us to stay there. That was our plan. And out of the blue, in the middle of May this past year, one of the landlords I had contacted in the past October that had originally said, yeah, I don't have anybody leaving, not seeing anything, well, but I'll put you on a wait list just in case something happens. And in the middle of May, she emailed and was like, hey, like, I know I said I didn't have anything, but I actually have a couple moving out at the end of June. And Rose and I were getting married in July. And I would have just started working at that stage. And it was just the perfect timing I was able to move in, get my stuff moved in, and she was able to bring some of her stuff down. And then we were able to get everything settled even before the wedding took place, and we were able to come back, didn't really have a ton of stuff to put away, and it was just huge miracle for us. We were very, very thankful to Becky and Casey, but just the extra drive time for her to get to school, it's 4 minutes from campus as opposed to 30, so made things for travel a little bit easier. And just seeing that, in the end it was a big thing, but it was just completely out of nowhere. I was actually helping my brother run a yard sale when she emailed me. So I was able to give her a call and walk through the apartment with her. And just seeing God's provision out of nowhere when we had been like, oh, okay, well, we'll just make it work and just enjoy our time with Becky and Casey. But he had other plans.
Yeah, I have, Yoder family has so much. I didn't know whether to go for the providence or the provision. I'll start with our crops this year. I thought it was going to be a disaster. We had dry weather, and August there was no rain. And the Lord blessed us with a bumper crop, which I never could have believed. And we are just praising Him. There's a planting, and He promises a planting and a harvest. And sometimes as a farmer, we're like Forrest Gump. We don't know what we're going to get. So we were just so blessed, not by anything that I did. And Steve will tell you the same thing. Just such a blessing to go to the field and see the corn and the beans running the combine. maybe along the providence, as most of you know, 5 years ago I was diagnosed with cancer. And 2 years ago, Julie was. And I'm not going to take time to tell you everything, but we are just so blessed. I can't begin to say how blessed we are. The perfect plan of God that He had planned for us, and how everything worked through all the cancers, me breaking my hip as a result of the cancer. I just praising the Lord. It's just a miracle at how He works things out, and how perfect His plan is. I'm just praising God for how the last 5 years have been great, have been absolutely great. 5 years ago, I was told that my cancer was treatable but not curable. In January, I go in for a procedure that is expected to cure my cancer. And 5 years ago, I was told that was not possible. So I'm excited, as you can tell. I'll be in the hospital 10 days, and it's supposed to be a pretty gravy procedure, so I'm excited about it. I do have to be careful about getting sick, so you might not see me around for the next couple months, but that's probably good for you. But anyway, we are praising God. He has a perfect plan. We are lifting Him up, and we are so thankful for His provision and His providence.
Please stand and sing hymn number 712, Be Still My Soul.
Still my soul, the Lord is on thy side.
Ah, what a blessing. That is one of my favorite hymns. The third focus for Thanksgiving we have tonight is Thanksgiving for God's people. This is a common theme we see when we study the pages of Scripture. The Apostle Paul regularly thanked God for the believers in his life. In Philippians 1, 3 through 5, he remembers them with joy because of their partnership with him in the gospel. In 1 Thessalonians 1, 2 through 3, he gives thanks because he sees their faith and their love and their steadfast hope that encourages him as he's engaged in the Christian life. And then in Hebrews 10, 24 through 25, we are reminded that God in his goodness has placed us in a faith family, one that stirs us up into love and good works ever more faithfully until the day of Christ Jesus. And so this is a reminder this evening that the relationships that you have with your brothers and sisters in Christ here at Grace Chapel is not accidental. They are gifts from the Lord. And so tonight I want you to consider, how has God used the fellowship of his people here at Grace Chapel to bless you, to stir you up in your walk with the Lord? How has the Lord used his people here to encourage you, to motivate you in prayer and to accountability and to shared service? And so let's take this time just to give thanks to God for the people and the family that he has placed around us for his glory and our good.
I just want to follow up real quick and thank everyone for praying for us the last 5 years. It is amazing how many of you say, still, I pray for you every day. It is amazing to me. And I know that that's the only way, or not the only way, but we're commanded to pray for each other. And I just want to thank you, the body, for praying for Julie and I. It works. We are just so blessed. I'm telling you, we are so blessed. And your prayers mean everything to us. Thank you.
Dan's making me do this by saying that we should give thanks. So 10 years ago, I never, like, God brought me here. Never anything that I thought he would do, but he gave me this church body, which is just, I'm so thankful for. I think about all the prayer for me and my family, back to when Wyatt passed, the encouragement, even from other people who were widows praying for me to find a spouse, and God didn't provide them with one, but he did for me. So also the providing. But I think about my sister too, and all the prayer for her when she doesn't even go here and most people don't even know her. And just how amazing this church body is with the love that it shows for its people and the people that they know. I've had people offer to drive an hour and a half to help my sister, and they don't even know her. Just how amazing that is to me, that this isn't just a church body, it's a family. So it just amazes me also just all the little ways God provides. I mean, it could be the smallest detail that we don't even realize in the moment, but looking back, he has every detail in his hands, and I'm just very thankful for a loving God who has placed me here with this family and with my family and with such a loving church.
You, there's so many people that are so important in our lives. I'm very thankful for the growth group that we have been in for the past, man, it seems about 25 years, right, Bill? Just for the love and care that they have given me and my family. And then it's probably been about the past decade that once a week I meet with Todd, Joe, and Lynn. And just having three guys who I know that are praying for me and care for me and are willing to hold me accountable as well has been such a blessing. So if you guys do not have someone who you are meeting with regularly, I strongly encourage that you do that so you can be sharing with them and being held accountable by them as well.
I met with a friend on Tuesday, a Christian friend from high school. She grew up in a different church than me, but we talked about just the blessing it is to be surrounded by other young women who share the same faith as us. And it got me thinking about how blessed I am to have had so many childhood friends that I grew up with in this church who are still pursuing the Lord alongside me, and just that I've known them since I was little and we grew up together and found the Lord's love for us together. Just what a gift that was, and I'm so thankful that the Lord gave me those friendships through this church. And that we're still pursuing those today. I'm very thankful for Ellie, who hosts our young women's Bible study. She opens up her home to us and invites like 12 of us in there, it feels like. But just that they are committed to getting to know one another and to dig into the Word. It's just such a gift, and I'm so thankful to be surrounded by women like that.
I grew up Catholic, so when the Lord finally called me to himself, this is the only church, the first church and the only church, Bible-believing church I've ever been to. So this is my normal. And, you know, as you meet other people and you talk with them, you realize this isn't normal. I have a group of ladies that I meet with weekly and just doing life, sharing burdens, rejoicing with one another, how much we love each other and care for each other. It's such a blessing. But like I said, it's not normal. And it makes you just yearn that other people would be able to share what we have in this church family, because it's extraordinary and it's only by God's grace.
Most of you know that a little over 3 years ago, my wife went to be with the Lord, and I guess there's a couple things I want to say is I didn't feel like the Lord was near. And, you know, I read a lot of the Psalms where David would cry out to God and wonder where he was at, and that's really the way I felt. And it was probably about 10 days before Ann went to be with the Lord. There was 120 of you out on my lawn that came to sing and to greet us, and I don't think I've ever properly thanked you all for that. But and there were so many of you that encouraged me, and you know what? I ask your forgiveness because I didn't want to be encouraged. I always said, I've said it a lot of times, I wasn't mad at God, but I didn't like his plan. I don't know if that can work. But you all continued to pray for me, to encourage me, to tell me I still had purpose when I really didn't want to hear that. So I would ask your forgiveness, because I know I was unkind to some of you folks, some of you precious folks. So I do ask your forgiveness for that. And, you know, I didn't want another wife. I really didn't. I wanted a buddy. I wanted a friend. But God seemed fit to give me another precious lady to share my life with. And so I just appreciate you all. And you are a precious bunch of people. And I just thank you again for all the encouragement that you gave to me and to my family.
I guess I'm up here all by myself. I don't know why I have to my mic runners, but after Levi and Marjorie's wedding, I was overwhelmed with a feeling of so much support and love from this body for those two. I can't even really put it into words. But after they left, you know, I was very thankful for the people that stayed to help clean up. But even in that, I mean, I was that whole process. And I just want to take this time to publicly acknowledge my thankfulness for this body and the relationships all of you guys have with my kids and my family.
Well, I've been waging a battle in my head whether to stand up, but now that he did, I guess I have to. And I've never been real good at following directions. And as I looked at the paper, I thought, well, I could just talk about all of them, but Pastor's kind of asked us to stick to one, and I don't have just one. But I will say that I'm very thankful for this church family as well. That was something that the Lord impressed upon me as I walked in here tonight. I know that I could go to a lot of you and seek counsel, ask for wisdom, ask for a hug, ask for correction, and it would be given. I talked with Julie back in the foyer this morning, and we just shared a sweet time with everybody bustling around us, and it was like we were the only two people in the room. And like Jeremy said, you all are family. You're not just friends. We've been through so much together, all of us. I can't say that we've been through any more than anybody else out here, and I know that we would bend over backwards for each other, and that's the body of Christ. You all mean so much to my family. There's been so many opportunities for you all to love on us as a family. Jim, when Thomas was hurt, you and Ann were right there and in his room waiting for us, and you said, "Oh, I don't think we should be here." And you were exactly who I needed at that time. That was such a sweet time. And during Samuel, I bet we fit 50 or more people in our living room. And as a body, we stormed the gates of heaven. What a sweet time. And I didn't plan on saying that, but you all are family. And I thank you for sharing life with us.
Spirit move among us, he does.
heart. We have one final focus for Thanksgiving tonight, and then we'll finish with a song of Thanksgiving. But the final focus that we have is Thanksgiving for God's providence. Scripture calls us to give thanks in all circumstances because God is always at work displaying His character and glory to us. Romans 8:28 assures us that He is working all things together for good. Psalms 119:71 says that even affliction can become His good tools for teaching us. And 1 Thessalonians 5:18 calls us to be thankful in all circumstances because His will is always wise, always loving, and always purposeful. So this final time of sharing invites all of us to reflect on how God has revealed His providential goodness to us, whether it be through times of joy or sorrow, through opened doors or closed doors, through blessings or through burdens. How have you seen God's faithful hand guiding and directing you this year? And let's share it at this time, and afterwards we will have our closing song of Thanksgiving.
So this year at the beginning, I thought this is kind of a rough year. I think back in end of February, a lot of you know I was in a construction accident, and a truss came down and hit me. It was very heavy. Knocked me out, gave me a concussion, broke my shoulder, dislocated it, torn rotator. And I thought, wow, you know, God, couldn't you have given me the urge to go outside and pick up some lumber or something? But, you know, He didn't. God knows best. And so then during recuperation, I wasn't nearly as active as I used to be. One day my leg started really, really hurting. And as it so happens, I had an appointment with my orthopedic that day and went to him and just in real agony. And I said, you know, I think I have a blood clot. And he said, well, why do you think that? I said, well, one leg is swollen. It really hurts. It's a little red. And he said, huh, well, if you want to go to the emergency room and get an ultrasound, I guess you could try that. So he wasn't real convincing or supportive, but I thought, wow, emergency room procedures, those cost a lot of money. I said, I'm gonna think about this. So I did some research online, and I found a place in Dublin that I thought looked pretty good. The day before, this was the appointment they could get me in was 5 days later. So the day before, man, the pain came roaring back, and I called them. I said, I don't know if I can wait. And they said, well, you do what you got to do if you have to go to the emergency room, whatever. But the pain passed, and the next day they made their appointment. And the gal took the ultrasound, didn't say a thing, and said, okay, wait here for the doctor. And he came in, and you know it's not good. He says, it's a good thing you came in today. Because I did have a blood clot, a big DVT, they call it, below my knee to mid-thigh, complete blockage in one of the veins. And so they put me on blood thinner and compression stockings and said, just start walking. And that's why, you know, a lot of times I pass Mike Marriage walking, because I'm walking because the idea is to flush the blood clot away. And then, you know, one of the results from the accident was that, I mean, I'm mostly healed, but my shoulder, it's called frozen shoulder. I cannot move this arm. And so I got some potential surgery coming up for that. But anyway, taking a road trip a couple months ago, and it was a night with a guy, and I was describing in too much detail, I guess, my blood clot and how it was supposed to flush out. Well, he had a bad reaction to that. He said, let's stop talking about blood. And the next thing you know, the car's running off the road. I look over at him. His chin is on his chest. He has let go of the steering wheel because he has passed out. So we're flying down the highway at 70, 75, and I'm trying to, you know, I thank God for inventing adrenaline. Because I grabbed that steering wheel, and I'm steering the car from the passenger seat, and I proceed to yell at him to wake up, not that he was sleeping, but wake up, wake up. I said, take your foot off the gas, because we were accelerating. When you pass out, you relax, and so the heavy foot pushed on the gas. We're flying down the highway, and it seemed like, you know, 10 minutes, but I think it was probably 8 to 10 seconds. I'm trying to correct the car without hitting anybody, and I'm shaking with my other hand, telling him to wake up. I said, wake up. Get your foot off the gas. And meanwhile, I have no way to control the car as far as brakes. No shifter to shift into neutral because it's one of those electronic things. There's no way to shift into neutral, no e-brake to pull. We're just picking up speed and heading to the car in front of us. Finally, he comes to, and he's able to grab the steering wheel, and I said, put on the brakes. And so he hits the brakes, and everything is fine. And he says, okay, let's not talk about blood anymore. I said, no problem. But, you know, looking, like I say, in the beginning of the year, I thought, oh, bummer, man. So why did God let me go through this? You know, but I had the accident, and then I had the blood clot where, you know, I could have had a pulmonary embolism, you know, before I got to that and had the ultrasound or treatment. You know, that's what happens. You can break loose, and it goes to the lungs, and you're in big trouble. Car accident, I could have died, I mean, very easily. The construction accident, if the truss had hit me directly in the head, it could have fractured my skull, it could have broke my back, left me paralyzed. Nope. None of the above, you know. And so now, like I say, in hindsight, I can do nothing to say, wow, thank you, God, that you are there taking care of me. Because it was a lot of close calls that could have gone the other way, not to mention other people that are involved with me. But, you know, God saw me through it, and I'm just so grateful. It's just really a confirmation that he is watching out for me. He's in control, and for whatever reason, you know, he loves me, wants to take care of me. So I'm just really grateful that God is out there and he's in control.
Well, this is going to cover more than 1 year, but Proverbs 16:9 says, a man's heart prepares his way or plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. Well, as I was growing up, I had my way pretty well planned. I was born on a farm. I thought I'd live on a farm all my life. I was so glad to be out of high school. There was no way I was going to college. And I was adamant growing up, I'd never get married. I retired from Honda after 31 years. I'm a college graduate, and I've been married for 44 years. So much for plan. But every one of those steps that I hadn't planned has influenced who I am. You know, I got to college, and growing up in the middle of the country, I didn't have close friends. And in college, you're with at least your roommate all the time. So I established friendships that I would never have established out in the field, just me and my tractor, you know. And I saw people's lives. I had a friend who knew through no fault of his own, got kicked out of school for a semester. And he came back, you would think, maybe bitter. He wasn't. He had grown in his time away, and he became a pastor later. You know, I had examples of people like that. And then, you know, I thought I'd farm all my life, and we got married, and we weren't broke, but we were working hard getting there. And I'll get a second job for just a little bit. And I ended up getting hired at Honda and found out you can't be two places at once. So I spent my time at Honda because they paid better than the tractor. But I, as I grew older, I realized that the shy kid that, you know, ran to the corner and hid suddenly is talking to strangers with total comfort. You know, that 31 years being with people constantly had changed who I am. You know, I'm comfortable with people. And any of you who is married knows that marriage can change you. After 44 years, I'm semi-housebroke. But, you know, I'm sure that I am nothing like I would have been if I had stuck my plan and never get married, you know. I have a great wife, and you know, that's so God has used those changing plans to change who I am.
I really didn't want to speak tonight, but God's been putting this on my heart. Sorry, I'm very emotional right now. I'm trying to rein in, but so Cody and I, like, when we were deciding on a church to attend, like, while we got married, It was hard, and it was kind of scary, just moving away, like, from what I knew in the church that I was raised in. But just everyone here was so, so welcoming, and I just really appreciate that, and I want to thank each one of you. And just the way each of you just go out of your way to welcome us each Sunday. And I've also had many college students also mention that it really, really helped, just that whole transition. And also just the godly male leadership that I saw right away. I really needed that. Just the godly husbands and how they led their families, the godly fathers. And I'm just very thankful for the way that God provided for me to be able to see that and just what a godly family looks like, and that he provided the church that he did. So thank you.
I just want to talk about, this kind of encompasses everything. I just want to be thankful for this church family. I remember when I first came, it'll be 3 years, and the first couple of years, everyone standing up, talking with one another before church, I didn't get it. I didn't understand. I just sat in my pew and waited for the clock to tick down till we began, and I just didn't understand because I didn't grow up in this. But now, after 3 years, and just the kindness of all the people that are here, the Ecksteins, the Moores, just the Tiptons, and all you guys, that just appreciate you guys for accepting me and welcoming me in. And now, Wednesdays, I can't wait for Wednesdays after a long day after work, come here and to pray with my brothers in Christ. And I just think about, Sundays are fantastic, and I just enjoy it from basically 8:30 in the morning till, 3 o'clock, and then coming again here. I love it. I'm going to California to visit friends that aren't saved. And I just pray that God will give me the strength to speak about how happy and how changed my life has changed, how my life has changed for the better. And I pray that he'll give me the strength to speak truth to them, and that they'll hear. And I pray that his light will shine through me, and that they'll see a positive change for the better. Because my life has never been better since giving my life to Christ. So thank you, all of you.
Number 690, He Leadeth Me.
Whatever I do, whatever I be still.
a great week.